Welcome to My Shamanic Life at the intersection of yoga, shamanic Reiki, and wildlife conservation. I'm your host, Debbie Philp, and I'm here to share the practices that keep me grounded, connected, and real as a yoga teacher, a shamanic Reiki practitioner and teacher, a wildlife rehabilitator and advocate, and a mentor for healing arts professionals who are ready to share their unique gifts with the world as inspirational leaders and change makers. My life, like this podcast, is totally imperfect and extraordinary. You'll find the past episodes on myshamaniclife.com, as well as a link to Patreon. By sponsoring this podcast on Patreon, you're supporting the rescue, rehabilitation, and release of injured wild turtles by helping me purchase needed equipment. Visit dancingturtlewildlife.com to learn more about wildlife rehabilitation and my turtle bus. I'll be offering a yoga practice in a bit, and you're welcome to unroll your mat and join me. For now, wherever you're listening, notice how the earth is holding you. Be aware of what touches the ground, the floor, your chair, or whatever is supporting you. Sink a little deeper into that support and feel your energetic roots sinking down into the earth so that you're anchored in and feel the earth providing nourishment and nurturing. You are here. The time is now. As I'm recording, we are about half a day from the new moon in Aquarius, according to Yasmin Bolan's Moonology book, which is an excellent book if you like working with the moon. Brings us very pragmatic energy. It invites forward thinking for the betterment of all. And card that I pulled today from Kim Cron's The Wild Unknown Animal Spirit deck, which I've been working with through a number of past episodes, is the mouse card. And mouse energy is very similar to this new moon energy that's coming in. It's that detail-oriented, organized energy. But the thing about mouse is that when mouse is out of balance, she can get very nitpicky, especially if she's coming from a place of fear. So if you're noticing that energy in yourself, then start to invite that mouse energy towards something more meaningful. And we have this Aquarius energy to really think about what we can do to change the world. That is Aquarius's energy. So let's put those organization skills towards something that's going to make a difference. This is how we change the world. And this has been what I've been working on for not only this month as we move out of Capricorn and into Aquarius, month of January, but also for the past 6 months or so as I regrouped and rethought and decided what was really going to be meaningful for me to put out into the world. And one of those things that I'm putting out in the world for you is a free talk that's coming up this Monday, January 27th at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, which is 4:30 p.m. Pacific Time. And you can register to hear this talk. It's called Finding Your Fire, and it's about the shifts that you can make in your life to be able to take impactful, aligned action on a regular basis. So register at debbiephilp.com/find-your-fire. And I'll put that link in the show notes. And if you register, even if you can't make it live, you'll have access to the replay afterwards. And I'd really love for you to hear this because I think it's going to really talk to you. Plus, you're going to get to hear some more about my turtles and how that was one of the things that I really wanted to make happen. So I hope you'll join me either live or for the replay. So let's use a yoga practice to explore how to get detail-oriented in alignment without getting overly nitpicky. The physical asana practice invites us to get into our body and start to explore it, not in this gross movement way, but to get more subtle. when I teach yoga teachers in my advanced trainings, especially, we really get into how do we help people feel the more subtle muscles, right? We work usually in the gross realm. What do muscle groups do? And we talk about hip flexors and torso extensors and lateral movements and stuff. But how do we now, once we've got the shape of the pose, start to refine it so that you get deeper and deeper into your physical body, learn it more? So that's what we're going to explore in our practice. Whether you're a yoga teacher or a yoga practitioner, you'll get some benefit from this deeper exploration that you can take into your day-to-day practice. And we're going to begin this practice standing on the mat. And then find mountain pose. We're going to start being more detail-oriented in mountain pose. And then move into warrior one, Virabhadrasana one. So stand in mountain pose with your feet underneath your hips. And this is a big one for people. Where are your hips? Take your thumbs and press into the front of your hips until you find your hip points, those bony protrusions that are sticking out. So that's the front of the hip joint. So when we do alignment, we want to align the skeleton. Lots of us have extra padding around the hips. So our sense of where our hips are can be distorted by the flesh that's there. So we need to find the bones. Because when we align in a pose, we want to align the joints, the places where the bones meet and where we move from. So once you've found those hip points by digging in with your thumbs, hold your hands in front of the hip points so that your palms are facing each other and your fingers are pointing down. Now, if you look down, that's the line that we're trying to work with. Put the center of your feet underneath your fingertips. So if you dropped a line from your hip points, it would land right in the center of your feet. Now from there, notice your second and third toes. So those are the center of the toe bed. Have the second and third toes pointing straight forward, which might mean, depending on the shape of your feet, that your big toes turn in a little bit more than your heels. That's also going to rotate your kneecaps in slightly. And remember, these are subtle changes. So this might just be a little micro movement adjustment for you. Your kneecaps, as they turn in a little bit, are now coming into that line from your hip points down to the center of your feet. And now we've got the hips over the knees, over the ankles. There's your alignment for your feet. Keeping your feet in that space, lift your toes a little bit, spread them nice and wide, and then lay the pads of the toes down loosely on the floor so that they're not curling and gripping the floor. And then lift the arches of your feet just enough to bring weight from the ball of the big toe to the ball of the pinky toe so it's equally distributed across the width of your foot. You should also land about in the center of your heel. And then notice, is there more weight in your heels or your toes? And shift your whole body from the ankles forward or back in space until you've got the weight evenly distributed between the heels and the toes so that your center of gravity is right over the center of your feet. Now notice, with all of these adjustments, did you lock up? Are your knees locked? Are your hips held? You've got the skeleton supporting you now because you've stacked the joints, which means that the thigh bone is sitting on top of the shin bones, and you have to do less work now to hold that in place because gravity is going to help align everything. The bones fit together just so. Right? And then the hips are sitting on top of the thigh bones. And the thigh bones, the femurs come up and turn in a little bit with the ball that goes into the joint. So that creates this little axis on which you can rotate your hips. So soften the knees, soften the hips, and then engage your lower abdominal muscles to lift the front of your pelvis up and in just enough to angle your tailbone straight down toward the floor. Put one hand on the front of your pelvis, your palm in. Take the back of the other hand down to your sacrum, so down by the tailbone. And notice when that tailbone is pointing straight down, when the sacrum is flat and vertical. And so that's all the engagement that you need to be happening to align the lower body. Now, once the lower body is aligned, you have this really good foundation for the upper body. Bring your shoulders over your hips by lengthening your spine, dropping the shoulder blades down, but not squeezing them together. So we want the shoulders to be nice and neutral here. And then bring your chin down until the bottom of your chin is level with the floor, so your ears are right on top of your shoulders. Hang your arms by your sides, palms facing in. So your arms are really loose and hanging from the shoulder joints. Reach your fingers down. You've now got a nice straight line up through the spine, out through the crown of your head from your tailbone. Now your spine has natural curves, and you might even be able to feel into this if you run your awareness up your spine from your tailbone. So the sacrum's flat, in the low back you start to curve in a little bit through the lumbar spine, and then as you get to the thoracic spine, which is the part of your spine that your ribs attach to, there's a little bit of outward curve. As you drop the shoulder blades down, that's going to flatten that just a bit, but it's not going to take the outward curve out. Allow a little bit of that. And then you get to the cervical vertebrae, the back of your neck, and there you might have a little bit of inward curve, but we want that basically pretty straight, then up through the crown of the head. So the line goes through the middle of those curves. It's kind of the average. Everything curves around that vertical line. Now notice also, and this is something that I do a lot, if your head is tilted to one side, and again, this might be really subtle, align your ears right over your shoulders so that your head feels pretty weightless on top of your spine. If you tip to one side or the other, you can start to feel the pressure down the shorter side as the weight settles into the sides of the vertebrae. So bring your head back to neutral. So we're standing in mountain pose. There's one more thing I want you to check on here. Feel your way down into your low ribs. As you drop your shoulders back and down, do they flare out? Or maybe you're noticing that those low ribs are pulling away from each other a little bit, that they're open, that you don't have a whole lot of control in your core. We're still using those lower abdominal muscles to lift the front of the pelvis enough to drop the tailbone straight down. Now imagine that the bottom of the rib cage, where they come to a point at the sides of your waist, imagine those two points are attached together by a piece of elastic. We want to pull that a little bit to shorten that elastic and draw the two bottoms of the rib cage towards each other. So feel them pulling towards each other just a little bit. You're using the muscles in the sides of your waist to draw them in. And you'll notice as you do that, as you start to bring the bottom of the rib cage in towards each other, that the top of your ribs, your sternum, lift just a little bit. So this is how we get some opening in the heart without throwing the shoulders back out of alignment. So the shoulders are going to be neutral. We're drawing those lower ribs in a little bit. The heart lifts slightly. Remember, these are very subtle movements. And when you're just starting to explore getting into these smaller, independent muscles, you may find that your muscles respond with a little bit of fatigue or discomfort. If it starts to strain, let it go. Back off just a bit. All right, so we've got our mountain pose aligned. Close your eyes for a moment. Now start to breathe through your nose a little more deeply. And notice how the breath moves into the body. Where does it go? If you're holding those low ribs in, you may find that the breath wants to stop in your chest. Or you may find that you're able to bring breath down a little lower around that. Breathe and explore. Pranayama, the breath exercises, are this incredible mental, emotional, spiritual tool for changing the energy in the body, for working with the prana. But at the same time, they invite us to explore the physical workings of the body in producing the breath. So what changes about your breath as you start to engage different muscle groups? As we notice this, we can start to work the breath with that and through it. Now put a little more bend into your knees. Bring your hands to your hips, and this time find the hip points with the tips of your fingers. And once you find them, slide your hands down below the hip points so that your index fingers are in the creases of your hips. Keep that little bit of bend in the knees so there's no strain in the low back, adding more bend if necessary, and maintaining that straight line from your tailbone to your crown. Hinge forward from the hip crease so that your upper body folds flat over your fingers and your torso starts to come towards your thighs. When you get about halfway down, move your hands down your legs, either above or below your knees, depending on whether or not you're level with the floor. Pause here. Ardha Uttanasana, half lift, half forward fold. Keep that little bit of bend in the knees. So the knees are soft. Reach your tailbone back and the crown of your head forward. So you're lengthening along that line. Heart starts to come forward. Notice if you lost the control in the core. Take a hold of those lower abdominal muscles again. Draw the front of the pelvis in and up to flatten the sacrum so your tailbone's reaching straight behind you in that line. Draw those lower ribs towards each other and feel how that moves your heart through your arms without taking the spine out of alignment. As you take your next exhale, bend your knees a little bit more and release your upper body down over your thighs. Let your belly come to your thighs so that you have that support. The knees might have to bend a whole lot for that to happen. Relax your neck. Tuck your chin slightly. Let the crown of your head fall toward the floor. Let your arms hang loose so that they're like wet noodles out of your shoulders. Maybe nodding the head yes, shaking it no. Relax your neck. Let the crown of your head reach toward the floor. Be heavy. Breathe here. and deepen the breath so that you feel your belly starting to press into your thighs as you inhale. You might notice that that works some breath into your low back. And remember the mechanics of our breathing. Feel that space opening up in the low back. Let the weight of your head and shoulders and arms start to draw the low back out of the hips so that you lengthen through the lumbar spine. Now walk your hands up your shins until you can lift up halfway, come above your knees if necessary. The knees can straighten a little bit more, but they're going to stay soft. Come back to the alignment of your half lift. Reach out through your tailbone, forward through your crown. Engage the lower abdominal muscles and the muscles in the sides of your waist to align your pelvis and draw those low ribs in. And then walk your hands up a little bit further. And when they get back to your hips, lift your heart slowly. Come up with a flat back, just like you went down. Notice what has to be engaged in the core. Relax your shoulders down your back. Let your arms hang again by your sides. Reach up through your crown, so you're back in mountain pose. So let's take what we just learned in mountain pose and in that forward fold and apply it to warrior one. Keeping your right foot forward, step your left foot back between 2 and 3 feet. How far back you go depends on your balance, your flexibility. Find that spot. Now turn your left toes out about 45 degrees. What's 45 degrees? 90 degrees is facing the side of the mat. 45 degrees is halfway between forward and the side. So you're kind of aiming past the front corner of your mat, the outside. Now notice your heel. The alignment of the center of the heel should still be with the left hip point. So if you brought your foot behind the right foot, you're going to limit your ability to adjust and move in the hips. Sometimes we need to go a little bit wider because of the way that ball at the top of the femur fits in the hip joint. This is especially true for women. Biologically female pelvis is different than a biologically male pelvis. Some men also need to go a little bit wider. Some women can go a little bit smaller. Just depends on the shape of your skeleton. And everybody's different. Just double check here that your heel is still in the same line with the left hip point. Toes are turned out to 45 degrees. Your hip points are still facing forward. And so if you notice that your left hip turned way back when you step back, try shortening a little bit. Try going a little bit wider until you can comfortably almost align them. And we're going to get a little more subtle here to make that line up a bit more. Now bend your right knee until your right knee is over your heel. So now that right leg is aligned skeletally from the knee to the ankle. Joint on top of joint. If you look down and your toes are not visible, your knee is too far forward. Bring it back a little bit. If it's really easy to go forward, you may have the flexibility to lengthen by moving the left foot back. Your right thigh is somewhere between a fairly steep slope and parallel to the floor. That too depends on your flexibility and muscle strength to be able to hold this pose. once you've got that foot aligned, just notice, is the weight even in your right foot between the ball of the big toe and the ball of the pinky toe? Lift the arch just a little bit to bring it even. So your weight's right over the center of the heel. That's going to help align the shin bones. You may feel your thigh working. You probably also notice that there's more weight now in the right foot than in the left foot because we shifted weight forward. But we want the legs, the lower body, to feel that same balance that we had in our mount pose. So how do we bring the weight into the left foot? We can just push that back into the floor, but we have to watch what's going on because we can take things out of alignment. So as you push back into your left foot, are you collapsing the arch of that foot down, rolling to the inside? Let's lift that arch and even out the weight across the width of that foot, just like we did in the right foot, so that the center of the heel is pressing down and the outside edge of your foot kind of cuts into your mat just a bit. Notice if you're gripping with your toes. Relax those. Now, as you lifted the arch, feel into those little nubs on the inside and outside of your ankle. The outer nub drops toward the floor. Again, these are little subtle movements. We're not looking for anything huge here. Just doing that pushes some more weight into that foot. So lifting the arch, getting to the outside edge, feel that weight turn down. Now, let's check in with the hips. Remember that our alignment was hip to knee to ankle. Turn your kneecap towards your right leg. Get just a little micro movement. Right, so we're just taking the bones and shifting them slightly. As you shift the bone, you're going to push the left hip point forward, again, just a little micro movement, so that your hip points are now aligned. And you've got a little more play in that axis that you can rotate your pelvis forward and back around. And that axis is what allows us to bring the spine into a neutral position. So because we've made that little adjustment, we freed up some space in that ball joint. We can now use the lower abdominal muscles to lift the front of the pelvis, drop the tailbone, and you might even bring one hand to the front of your pelvis, one hand to the back of the sacrum, and notice when the sacrum is straight up and down. If you're straining, adjust the position of your feet. Maybe you come a little shorter, go a little wider, a little more narrow. Find that spot where your alignment allows the pelvis to be neutral and so that you can be engaged in the low belly. And you'll notice once that alignment feels really good and we've got that back leg activated just enough, turning the kneecap in, pressing down into the outside edge of the back foot, the weight now feels evenly distributed between your right and left foot. From here, shoulders align over the hips. Crown of the head's nice and tall, ears over the shoulders, so you're finding that straight vertical line that goes up from the tailbone through the crown of the head. The spine is going around it in its natural curves. Use the sides of the waist to draw your low ribs towards each other. That's going to lift your heart without lifting your shoulders. Now, keeping the tops of the shoulders down, float your arms up overhead until they're about shoulder width apart above you. Turn your palms to face each other, reach your fingers up, keep the shoulders down and the lower ribs drawn in. so that you're staying nice and broad and lifted through your heart space. Your arms align with your ears, so your biceps are next to your ears. And the tops of the shoulders are staying down away from the ears. If your arms don't go straight up, maybe they're hitting the bone there, circle your arms out and around a little bit. See if that allows you to bring them a little higher. Take another breath. And then release your arms down. Step your left foot forward to meet the right and come back into mountain pose. All right, so short practice. We're just going to do the other side. Before we do, just do a quick check-in with your body, because you'll notice as you come out of a pose, what releases? Which of those muscles that you were using, that you were holding in an isometric contraction, that's the contraction of holding the body in place, it's a stabilizing contraction. As those release, you can feel the muscles let go. And when we pause after a pose and we get into that, we start to get a real sense of what was working. How's the subtle physical body responding to our poses? All right, let's keep the left foot forward. Take the right foot back. Our bodies are not always perfectly symmetrical, so sometimes we need to make little tiny adjustments between sides. And so right foot's back. Turn the toes out to 45 degrees. Align your heel with the hip joint. Now bend your left knee until your knee is over your heel. Adjust your stance if necessary to get that alignment so that shin is straight up and down. Feel how the weight's moved into your left foot. And then start to adjust the right foot to bring the energy into both feet equally. Lift the arch of the right foot so the outside edge cuts down into the floor. Turn your right knee cap to the left just enough to square the hips so both hip points are facing straight forward. And you'll feel that's engaged, the right foot, ankle is engaged, that whole leg feels strong, and now the weight feels even between both feet. Keep that weight even, reaching evenly into both feet. Draw up on the low belly. Drop the tailbone so that the pelvis is in its neutral position over the axis of the thigh bones. Align your shoulders over your hips. Adjust your chin so that the bottom of the chin, just like in mountain pose, is level with the floor and your head is in that weightless position. So it's not tipping to either side. Straight line from your tailbone to the crown of your head. Relax your shoulders down. Draw the low ribs towards each other. Lift up through the heart space. Now keep the shoulders down the back. Take the arms up over your head. Notice if you lifted your shoulders to your ears. Drop them down. Let the arm bones sit in the shoulder sockets. Turn your palms towards each other. Reach. Crown of the head's lifting, ears are lifting off the shoulders. Look straight out ahead of you. You might even pick a focal point. Just let your gaze rest there. Feel the whole body balanced and working. Take another breath. Now release your arms down. Step your right foot forward to meet the left. Come back to mountain pose. Now bring your hands to the front of your hips again. Slide your index fingers into the hip creases. Inhale. Soften your knees. Exhale. Hinge from the hip crease. So you're tipping forward with the pelvis. Walk your hands down until you're in that half lift position. Pause there for a moment. And then bend your knees a little more deeply. Walk your hands all the way down. Let your upper body come down over your thighs. Relax your neck. Drop your head. Drop your arms. Take a few deep breaths here. Now bend your knees even more deeply. Place your palms flat, about shoulder width apart. Step your feet back into downward facing dog. Pedal out your heels a little bit here. Just using this as a transition, a chance to stretch out one more time. Now bend your knees, drop your knees to the floor. Now shift your shoulders forward so that they're right on top of your wrists. Spin your elbow creases forward so your elbows come into your sides, and then bend your elbows and lower your chest toward the floor between your thumbs. Pause here for just a moment and then release your abdomen down to the floor. So your belly lands on the floor, your hip points, stretch your feet back, point your toes. Keep your hands right underneath your shoulders with your elbows in, shoulder blades down. Tuck your chin slightly so you're in that nice line, the upper back, up the back of the neck. And then as you take your next breath in, peel your heart up off the floor. Keep the hip points pressing into the floor, the low belly pressing into the floor, coming into Bhujangasana, Cobra Pose. We did a lot of hip flexion. We're just going to take things into extension for a moment. Open up the low back. Now here, we can use that same muscle group that we were working with to align the pelvis when we were standing to get a little bit deeper into this back bend. And find those low abdominal muscles, pull the front of the pelvis up and in a little bit. That's going to push the hip points into the floor just a bit more, and angle your tailbone down toward the floor so it's reaching back toward the heels, opening up a little more space. And from there, draw the lower ribs towards each other as it starts to lift your heart. Lift the top of your sternum toward the bottom of your chin. Release the shoulders down the back, stay nice and broad. Press the tops of your feet into the floor. And roll your inner thighs up so your kneecaps point straight down and your pinky toenails touch the floor. Press into the tops of the feet a little bit more so that your knees lighten. They might even lift just a fraction of an inch off the floor. Keep breathing here. As you take deep breaths in, notice how your abdomen is pressing into the floor. Those inhales might lift you a little higher. One more breath in. Exhale, release all the way down. Let your forehead or chin rest on the floor for just a moment. Begin to relax through your low back. Wiggle your hips side to side so you shake any tension out of the low back. And notice as you're doing this, where are you feeling things release from? You're pressing your hands into the floor, lift onto your knees. Walk your hands towards your knees, drop your hips to one side of your feet, swing your legs around, and roll down onto your back. Draw your knees up into your chest, give them a little hug, rock a bit from side to side. Now keep your knees over your chest, open your arms out to the sides like you're making a T, and roll both knees over to the right. Come off of your left hip, try to keep the left shoulder down, but don't overly fight with things here. We want to release into this twist. We're preparing for Savasana. We're switching out of that alignment detail and into relaxation, letting go. Now gravity is going to work with you here. Take another breath. Now lift both knees up and shift them over to the left side. Once they fall to the left, right hip comes up, keep relaxing your right shoulder down. few breaths here. You might roll your chin to the right. Be really gentle with everything in your body. No fight, no struggle. Start to let go. Take another breath. Inhale, bring both knees back up. Set your feet on the floor and extend your legs out. Turn your palms to the sky. You can keep your arms out in a T or bring them closer to your body, but let the shoulders relax back. Relax your hips. Notice the way your feet splay open. Different alignment than mountain pose. Tuck your chin slightly. Let the back of your head settle into the floor. Neck is nice and long, no strain, no crunching. And align your head and your neck over your spine so that you're not tipping to one side or the other. Your chin is aligned with the top of your sternum. As you close your eyes and settle in, take a few breaths and do a quick scan through your body and notice, where are you feeling things releasing? What had been working in your body that was now letting go? Where are you still holding where you don't need to be? Set the intention to let go. Without expectation that your body will respond. Let your breath settle back into its natural rhythm. And I'm going to leave you here to stay in Savasana for as long as you desire, getting that sacred rest, staying present to the sensations in your body, honoring the divine light in all beings that connects us and makes us one. Namaste.